Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. At the very outset of our lesson today, I'd like to thank you for listening to Go and Teach. We're well within our second year of broadcasting, and we're very pleased with the response that we've had, both verbally and the response that we've had over our emails, and the fact that some people have been introduced to the Lord's Church through listening to this program, and we've had the privilege of meeting some of you who have come to worship with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We want to remind you that any of the lessons that we've had in this program can be yours free of charge. If you'll go to our website at www.montevistacoc.com, go to the archives section of that website and locate the DVDs that you'd like, the subjects that you'd like. Let us know via return email, and we'll send those out to you. Today, I want to begin our broadcast and probably a couple of other broadcasts on this same subject, concerning the question, is the Bible the Word of God? I want to say that either the Bible is the inspired Word of God, or it is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated upon mankind. The Bible says that every Scripture is inspired of God. I read that in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. I know that the word inspired is from a Greek word, a theonoustos. That theonoustos means literally God breathed. So the Bible, or the Word of God, is the very breath, the very essence of God. God breathed His Word into men who spoke them via the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the Word given is inspired, and the word spoken was the revealing of that given word. We live in a society where people are interested in trials. You can go to the television and you can see Judge Judy, or you can see a lot of different judges, and those shows are based upon trials. I've heard that one of the highest number of people that ever watched shows on television watched the trial of O.J. Simpson. Now, once in a while, I go back into the archives of the shows that I have access to, and I watch 12 Angry Men, which is about a jury and a trial. I've watched with interest the Judgment at Nuremberg, which is a trial concerning those Nazis and the war crimes that they committed during the Second World War. Well, then, I think we can agree that there is an interest in trials. I'd like to have a trial on this radio program, and I would like to put the Word of God on trial. And I'd like to answer, and I'd like to present to you, if you'll be the jury, I'd like to present to you evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. I'd like to present to you 9 distinct points for your consideration, and allowing you enough information to make a knowing and knowledgeable decision concerning our question, is the Bible God's Word? First of all, I want to present to you the fact that the Bible claims to be the will of God. We've already looked at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 in our introduction, but I want to point out that passage says that it's not part of the Bible that's inspired, but all of the Bible. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. I want you also, if you would, to give some credence to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 20 and 21. There the Bible reads, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit." Prophecy didn't originate with the Bible and the writers of the Bible, but prophecy originated with God. An illustration of that is found in Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 22. God knew Moses face to face, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, and he talked to him from heaven, Exodus 20 and verse 22. Moses wrote what he had heard, Exodus 24 and verse 3 and verse 4. God also spake to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. God also spoke to Samuel, 1 Samuel 3 verse 4 through 14. And God also spoke to David, 2 Samuel 23, verse 1 and verse 2. Did you know that every Old Testament prophet testifies that he's inspired by God? So I want you, if you would, to visualize being in that jury in this trial and having the lawyer present to you every Old Testament prophet that we read about in the Bible. The attorney would present to you Isaiah, and his testimony would be found in Isaiah 1, verse 1 and 2, that he is inspired by God. Then we could bring before you Jeremiah, and Jeremiah would testify that he is inspired by God, chapter 1 and verse 9. Ezekiel would follow, and in chapter 2 and verse 2, plus chapter 3 and verse 27 of that great book, Ezekiel would testify to you as a jury that he is inspired by God. Then we would bring before you Daniel. That would conjure up in your mind great stories of the lion's den, great stories of the furnace of fire and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel would testify to you that he is inspired by God, Daniel 9, verse 20 through 22. Hosea would be a lesser known prophet, but one just as great as well. In chapter 1 and verse 1, he would testify to you that the message that he brought is inspired by God. Joel would come before you, and again in chapter 1 and verse 1 of his message, he would say that he is inspired of God. We would bring before you Amos, and we would turn to Amos chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and we would see testimony that Amos is inspired by God. We would bring before you Obadiah. Obadiah 1 and verse 1 states that he is inspired by God. The prophet Jonah would come forth, and in chapter 1 and verse 1 of his message, we would see that he is inspired of God. Micah would follow Jonah, and we would show that in Micah chapter 1 and verse 1, he is inspired of God. We would bring before you Nahum chapter 1 and verse 1 and show that Nahum testifies that he is inspired by God. Habakkuk would come before you, and we would show in his prophecy chapter 2 and verse 2 and in chapter 1 and verse 1 where he testifies that he is inspired of God. Zephaniah would come before you in the witness stand and testify, chapter 1 and verse 1, that he is inspired by God. Haggai would follow in chapter 1 and verse 1 of the book of Haggai, that he is inspired by God. Zechariah would come and show in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 of his great message, that he is inspired of God. We would finalize our testimony of Old Testament prophets by bringing before you Malachi. Malachi, the last writer before the 400 years of silence between the Testaments, would testify to you, as stated in Malachi 1 verse 1, that he is inspired by God. Now we would set before you information from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus called the Old Testament the Word of God, John 10 and verse 35. Did you know that in 17 New Testament books, there are 284 Old Testament quotations from every single writer of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul, who wrote 14 New Testament books, says that the gospel he preached was not from man, but from Christ. Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. Now, if you would, if you have your Bible handy, turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 4, I'd like to consider with you some information given through verse 13. If you'll recall, the Apostle Paul wrote the book called 1 Corinthians, and it was a letter written to the church at Corinth. There in verse 4, he begins by writing, "And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever thing God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words." My friend, if the Bible is not of God, the men who wrote the Bible were ignorant or they were dishonest, because the men who wrote the book we call the Bible testified over and over again with great clarity that the Bible is the Word of God. So at the beginning of our trial, I want to reemphasize that I present to you from the Bible that men who were the authors thereof claim to be bringing to you the will of God and not a message from man. Next, in evidence, I would like to submit to you that the unity of the Bible proves that it's the inspired Word of God. Did you know that the Bible was written by approximately 40 different men? It was not written at one sitting. It was written in different centuries. The men who authored the Bible were of diverse backgrounds. Some were kings, some were ranchers, some were tax accountants. There were some who were fishermen, and some even that were doctors of medicine. The subject matter of the Bible varies greatly. There are some subjects in the Bible that we might categorize as law, some as prophecy. There are parts of the Bible, the first five books, for instance, and the book of Acts in the New Testament. There are some that we would say are books of history. We see in the Bible poetry, and we see different styles in the Bible. We see the narrative style and other styles of writing. But one thing that we always see in the Bible is unity. There are no contradictions in the Bible. The Bible is timeless. It doesn't get out of date. It is not something that goes away and rusts away and becomes of no use. We read in the Bible in Psalms 119 and verse 169, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." I want you to just take a moment and think, what other book do you have that endureth forever? Only the Word of God endureth forever. World history testifies that mortal man cannot achieve such a feat as we just described concerning the Bible. Great men contradict each other, and they question other great men. To claim that the uninspired man wrote the Bible demands a miracle, and that miracle would surpass the claim of inspiration only. The unity of the Bible proves that it is the inspired Word of God. I'd like to present to you now another proof that the Bible is the Word of God. That is the unparalleled impartiality of the Bible. That's proof in itself of inspiration. Books written by humans extol the virtues and suppress the vices of their heroes. The Bible makes no attempt to so do. The Bible makes no attempt to hide or to minimize or to apologize for the weakness of those men who received the message from God. Even for the most noble of characters, such as Abraham, such as David, such as the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, the Bible makes no attempt to hide or to minimize their weaknesses. David's sins are related with the same blunt way as the sins of Ahab, the sins of James and John, when they called for fire to destroy the Samaritans, are recorded just like Herod's slaughter of the Bethlehem babies. Peter's denial of Jesus Christ is described just in the same way as the betrayal of Judas of the Master. Such impartiality in bringing forth information is superhuman. It is beyond human. The writers were guided by that which was not human, the Holy Spirit. Now we've seen that the Bible claims itself to be inspired. We've seen the unity of the Bible. We've seen unparalleled partiality of the Bible. And I want to suggest to you that when you read the Bible, there is a certain morality about the Bible that could not have been brought by mortal men. Men could not have written the Bible, and if they would have, they could not. And they could not. I read one time where an unknown author said, men could not have written the Bible if they would, and would not if they could. Indeed, a point of evidence. I want to present to you now a fifth point of evidence, and that is that the brevity of the Bible shows its inspiration. Never has so much been written in so few words. It can be pocket-sized, yet it records hundreds of human events and covers more than 40 centuries of time. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is told in four short books. Two of the gospel writers talk of only the last 3 years of the life of Jesus. That brevity is not due to a lack of information. In John, the 21st chapter and verse 25, the Bible says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Again, that's John 21 and verse 25. The book of Acts gives a very brief overview of 30 years of some of the most turbulent history in the world's knowledge. Nearly all of the works of the 10 apostles are omitted, and only a few acts of John are recorded. Do you think that the birth, the miracles, the baptism, the teaching, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus could have been put in so few words if man had the job of doing? The martyrdom of James took one verse, Acts 12 and verse 2. James was an apostle of the Lord. Now let's review for a moment. We have presented to you today some very significant evidence. We have had testimony from the Bible itself. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, and 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, that it is inspired. We brought before you as an impaneled jury testimony from every Old Testament prophet. We laid it before you. We presented to you as an impaneled jury testimony from Jesus Christ Himself. We brought before you every writer of the New Testament, and they presented their testimony that the Bible is from God. We presented to you the fact that the Bible is unified in a way that would not be possible for mankind. A book written by 40 writers in different centuries and containing no contradictions. I want to suggest to you that the great moral teaching of the Bible shows so clearly its inspiration. The law of Moses has been the basis upon which every civilized country has patterned its law. It condemns immorality and crimes of all kind in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. It does that also in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and again in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. The Bible, in the law of Moses, taught that man is to love his neighbor, Leviticus 19 and verse 18. That is not something natural to man. No great moral teacher has ever equaled the sermon that Jesus preached on the mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Therein he teaches us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. He teaches us to love our enemies and not despitefully use them. That is not the teaching of man. That's the teaching of deity. There's other information that I want to present to you as we try to decide in our minds whether the Bible is from God. And I would like to present to you, beginning in our next lesson, Lord willing, some information about the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to show in the life of Jesus Christ how that it's just not possible to come from the wisdom, the knowledge, or the memory of man. It must come from God. Well, that's all of the time that we have to present to you this information today. I pray that this information will be used by you as a basis of study of the Word of God, and that as you study that great book, you'll study it as the Word of God, not the Word of man, that you'll see a love in the disposition of the author that is for His own creation. You know, the Bible says that God would have everyone to be saved, but it also tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there are who walk on that road. It tells us that narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there are that will find it. That's not God's choice, that's man's choice. Man has chosen to lay aside the loving Word of God and the pathway that can be found by looking and following in the footprints of Jesus for his own way. But yet Jeremiah the great prophet in chapter 10 says, "It's not within man to direct his own steps." When you pick up the Bible, honor that as the Word of God and follow that as it a powerful entity that will determine your very eternal destiny. May you have opportunities this week to impress upon those who see your life how important it is to be pleasing to the Lord. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good week. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address.
We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.